Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Balance on a Saturday morning. After all that snow that we've gotten here recently, it's time to talk some college hoops because it is March. It is March 9th, 2013, and the madness is just ready to begin. And joining us now with college hoops from Kansas University and Jayhawk Nation, Mr. Preston Barr. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Never better. So glad that you could get up on a Saturday morning for us today and join us. Well, actually, for in your case, it's not Saturday morning. We are taping the show today, so we're not going to be able to take any live phone calls, but we do want to jump right into some March Madness. I tell you what, it has gotten crazy, and as we're taping this and we'll talk a little bit about the Jayhawks here, but certainly as we're taping this, guys just come off a huge shellacking of the Texas Tech Raiders. It isn't Bobby Knight's team anymore, is it?
Absolutely not. That was a fun game to be at. I'll say that much.
I can only imagine. So let's walk through that game here real quickly, and then we'll get into some more talk with March Madness and, of course, the Jayhawks as well, which could be very well headed, or at least – being a thorn in Gonzaga's side for number one and IU's side for number one. And the last thing, was it senior night that night?
Yes. Yeah, it was. It was awesome to see our seniors play the last time in the fieldhouse. We have a lot of love for our four starting seniors, and they have a lot of love for the program. And they gave speeches afterward, and it was really touching. It was a really awesome game to watch them all succeed, and Jeff Withy had a really great game, so that was fun.
Well, I would say so at 22 points. That's NBA talk there. Kevin Young had 14 points, as well as fellow senior Travis Welford, 13, while point guard Elijah Johnson, the fourth member of the class, had 7 points to assist. So good showing of seniors there and Jayhawk Nation. Well, I wish I could say the same thing about senior night here in Indiana, IU losing to Ohio State on senior night as well. So let me ask you this, Preston, what do you think? We were talking about this just a little bit earlier when we were talking with Gene and $2 Bill Josh about the IU game. Do you think that IU has gone soft and lost its mojo?
No, I don't. I think that I've watched them play, and they're either one of two teams. They're an incredibly dominant team, or they're docile and they get pushed around like they did at Ohio State. I think Ohio State wanted that game more, and that's why they won. And they played really physical, and IU just got pushed around, and Ohio State got the shots they wanted, and they got a lot of things to go that game. But I don't think Indiana's lost its mojo. I still think it's a national title contender. I still think it's a number one seed in the tournament. I mean, they lost to a good Ohio State team who I feel is rated just about right. But when they play well, they play as good as anyone in the country. So they're going to be kind of a shaker in the tournament too. But I don't think Indiana's lost its mojo yet. We'll see how they roll into the tournament.
Well, and absolutely. I mean, I don't think that we're saying anything that IU is not going to be in the Final Four, certainly not in the championship game at this point. However, when you lose two games in a row and you allow Gonzaga to come to number one, and we know how well Kansas is doing there, and obviously Kansas is there every year, this is going to be the year when you look at a lot of the teams that are on the bubble, and this is what...
Tina, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
Well, that seems to be the story of a lot of bubble teams this year. Let's talk about some of the bubble teams. First of all, let's talk about those Kentucky Wildcats. Certainly, they are having a disappointing season. And how disappointing is this, and or how costly is this recent stain to Kentucky and what's happened to them? Obviously, certainly not what everybody thought that Kentucky would do. I was looking for the score there, but it just went away on me there, Preston. So that's what we call it radio. We just wing it. But no, but actually, it was against Georgia. That's what it was, Georgia, 72-62 loss to Georgia. How much did that loss hurt the Wildcats?
I think it got them out of the tournament. I think they were in the last four out before that. Kentucky was rated number three coming in this season, preseason, and now look where they are. Who knows what could have happened with Nerlens Noel? But it's interesting to see the national championships not even making it to the tournament with 64 teams there.
Well, I tell you what, you look at some of the teams, and again, we're taping the show today, so a lot of this stuff we don't know about what's going on today's games, or meaning today being Friday that when we're taping this, and then also on tomorrow's games as well. But let's talk about what has happened on Thursday, meaning last night. Kentucky loses to Georgia. Certainly wasn't good for the Wildcats, and really they were lousy from the free throw and just weren't able to put it together. UMass, 73-62, set back to Butler at home. Was an opportunity loss for the Minutemen, who needed to run in the Atlantic 10 tournament to have a serious shot at large. So where does that put Butler at? And does that push Massachusetts off the bubble there?
I think it does kind of push Massachusetts on the bubble. I honestly think that this time, the beginning of March, is my favorite time in college basketball because this is when people want games the most. And it's most interesting to watch the bubble games. Like the Virginia-Florida State game is a great example. Virginia needed that win real bad, and they lost to Florida State. Not a fantastic team in the ACC, but these games are always just so interesting. I think Butler's in, and I definitely think that the other's out.
Certainly an interesting point that you made about the Cavaliers lost their second consecutive game, 53-51, like you mentioned, at Florida State there. And despite all those solid wins, Virginia is really playing with a rejuvenated fire, I would say, thanks to its long list of troubling losses and a terrible non-conference strength of schedule has kind of helped them out. But I don't know that it's helped them out enough to get off the bubble and to get into the tournament. Obviously, some teams that are worth looking at, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, was Villanova. Nothing like a little Wells Fargo Center magic to bolster Villanova's postseason possibilities. The Wildcats have beaten Louisville, Syracuse, and Georgetown in their part-time off-campus home with those three victories. I think would put Villanova in any argument of going into the tournament.
I think they're a team that everyone would like to see in the tournament because they're one of those teams that will shake up the bracket. They'll win a couple games against some good teams, and they'll kind of shake it up. And those are what makes – I mean, last year's tournament, it was sad to see Lehigh beat Duke and Norfolk State beat Missouri, but those are the kinds of things that – happen in March. It's crazy. They call it madness for a reason because 15 seeds beat 2 seeds, and it's always awesome to see like a Villanova in the tournament ranked as like a 10 seed coming through and just shaking things up.
Well, $2 Bill Josh asked this question earlier. Do you think this is the one time where in Gene Walker didn't exactly agree with this, but do you think this is the one time that a 16 seed can upset a number one seed in the tournament?
Absolutely. I completely see that being possible. I mean, all the one seeds projected, Indiana, Gonzaga, Kansas, and Duke, Or no, Duke wasn't one, but I'm sure they're going to be this week after winning. I think that all of them play at an incredibly high level, but when they play flat, it looks like anyone can beat them. Like, mm-hmm. if someone pushes Indiana around like Ohio State did, I think anyone could really beat them if they just physical them up and IU plays flat. But when they play the IU basketball that they're capable of, and any of the top seeds play the basketball they're capable of, yeah, they're going to have a hard time losing. But I think this could be the year. I mean, we got close last year, 15-2. But I think it'll be interesting to see.
Well, certainly those bubblers, as we would say, will be rooting for Creighton or Wichita State to win the Missouri Valley to save a spot in the field. And obviously we've added a couple other games. I want to get your thoughts on that. We've added a few other games, a few other what we call play-in games. What are your thoughts about that this year?
I'm interested to see. I've always been interested by the tournaments that they have, the conference tournaments afterward being automatic bids and having less focus on the actual regular season, and then they give out at large. But I, like I said, I love watching people fight for something they want. And to get into the tournament is a huge honor. And these play-in games, I think, are going to be incredibly interesting. They're not going to be blowouts. They're going to be hard-fought games. And it's going to be fun to watch. I like them. I'm a fan of them.
So we look at Wichita State, obviously out there kind of in your neck of the woods there, versus Missouri State. I think it would take a lot of chaos to knock Wichita State out of the field, but how crazy would that be if Missouri State came in and pushed Wichita State off the bubble?
It would be crazy. I would love to see Wichita State, only because all three D1 schools in Kansas would be in the tournament. That's kind of a selfish reason. I think that the Shockers play incredibly well at home. I think they've lost one game at home this season, but I think they're another team that is like a community school in a way. Wichita State is a Wichita school. I'll leave it at that. Not a lot of people go around from Kansas and come to that school, but everyone here would like to see them in the tournament. They're just kind of a hometown favorite.
Go ahead.
And they're a hometown favorite, and they really like, and they're liked by everyone here almost as much as Kansas is. They just love to see them win and upset people and beat Creighton especially.
Well, definitely there's a full day of what we call Arch Madness. That's a play on the words there. Arch Madness, Missouri Valley Conference there. For those slow minions on a Saturday morning, what's he talking about? Arch Madness in the Missouri Valley Conference. You look at Missouri State and Drake both won their opening round games. Tonight's Ohio Valley semifinals. Again, when we're talking about tonight, we're actually talking about when we taped this show. Sometimes when you tape a show, you can get into that real day mode and that future mode. But unfortunately, when you're talking sports, sometimes it just flows out. So we do want to remind people when we talk about tonight, we're not talking about Saturday night. In fact, by now, we probably already know the scores of some of these games. But tonight's Ohio Valley semifinals will feature a 20-win teams, Belmont, Eastern, Kentucky, and Murray State. Another team to look at, and you look at the Racers, what they were doing last year, not quite as an impressive season this year. But one thing I've learned about Murray State, they're one of those teams that you say you like to watch because they really fight hard to get into the tournament. Thoughts on Murray State?
They score a lot. I think they're 60th overall in the country. But that isn't really indicative of how much they actually score. They're a great scoring team, and they're always – so much fun to watch. I don't know what it is about Murray State, but I love watching them. I loved watching them last year. I like when I get to see them this year. I think they'll be in, and I think they'll win this game upcoming tomorrow, which is Friday. But, I'd love to see them in the tournament. I just like watching them play, and I'd like to see them compete for something a little bit bigger than themselves. So, absolutely in.
Well, back closer to home here in Indiana, the Horizon League tournament reconvenes in northern Indiana, we should say. But neither hosts Valparaiso or Detroit. And to play in the event's second round, the third-seeded Wright State does get its first conference tournament contest in the first game of the night's doubleheader. So Wright State, are they a serious contender, or are they just shaking things up a little bit?
I think they're one of those people that could shake things up. I don't think they're a serious contender. I would have loved to see Detroit stay healthy this entire season, because I think they would have taken this conference really easily. But I think Wright State could be one of those fun to watch teams, but I don't think they're all that serious this year.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be fun to watch some of these bubble teams. Let's talk just real briefly about the NIT and really who's bound, I guess, for the NIT, and unless it wins, it happens to win their conference tournament. BYU headed to the NIT, certainly a disappointing season for them. The Cougars, 21-10, have a nice enough record and avoided glaring mistakes aside from a two-day stretch in early February. But they have beaten no one of any significant value entering Thursday's Weber State game as their most noteworthy triumph. So BYU, certainly not the team this year that they had hoped would happen for them.
I think their conference has gotten a lot harder this year. Goodness, in my college student. I think that they always compete, but they just never seem to win. I would have loved they played Gonzaga really hard, and that game was really close. And they've had a lot of games like that, but it has been a disappointing season for them. And it would be interesting and nice to see them make a run in the NIT. Because they fought so hard this year in a lot of games. They've also had a lot of not so great losses, but they fought hard in a lot of games.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what we'll call the coaches poll or the AP poll, whichever poll that you happen to look at. Obviously, Gonzaga Bulldogs are number one. We talked about them right here on this show, you and I together, and we've talked about it before, Gonzaga on this show. You start hearing about Gonzaga this time of year. Gonzaga has always proven themselves to be a dominant team in the tournament, and I don't look for this year to be any different. Gonzaga Bulldogs, thoughts?
I say Final Four at the latest, no more. I like watching Gonzaga. I think that they have a really great thing going on. I'm still not sure that they're a number one team. Their record shows so, but they have zero wins against top 25 teams. Zero. And their only two losses come against top 25 teams. They lost to Butler, who sort of slowly dwindled off the map. And I love... They're such a likable team. Kelly Olynyk is one goofy-looking guy, but he plays great basketball. He scores so easily. They have a great three-point shooter. They have another seven-footer. I think that they have all the workings and the coaching and the field goal percentage. I mean, they shoot really efficiently. But I just can't see them playing Big Ten teams, any Big Ten teams for that matter, in the tournament and dominating them like they have a lot of other teams.
Well, one other team I want to talk about, and then we're getting close to the time when we've got to wrap up our conversation for today, and we're certainly going to be having a very special bracket show. I don't know if that's going to be on Selection Sunday or it's going to be the following Monday. Obviously, we want you and Evan and Jimmy the intern and the entire College Hoops crew to join us and help us set the brackets, and we'll know better where the seeding is. But there's a cocky, arrogant team out there sitting at number five, Georgetown. I don't know, and maybe it's just me. Maybe they just got a certain swagger about them. But to me, Georgetown shouldn't be at number five, but they think they should be at number one. How big of a threat, really, is Georgetown in the tournament?
Georgetown is a threat, but I don't think they're your biggest worry. I would worry more about a team like Ohio State than I would Georgetown. Ohio State has a lot of people that can score. Georgetown's got two or three people that can score. Georgetown plays fantastic defense, however, and they have a good player of the year candidate in Otto Porter Jr. But I would be worried more about Big Ten teams and, like, the Kansas States that just seem to grind and always win than Georgetown. They went on a great, great winning streak, but they also just lost. And going into March Madness, that is not, like, the place you want to be in. You want to come in rolling. You want to come in with wins. I think Georgetown is a threat, and, I mean, I could be eating my foot right now, but I don't think that they're going to be an enormous threat in the tournament. They do have that swag that they just always think they're going to be number one, especially right now. But I don't think they can threaten, I mean, some good, well-playing Big Ten teams. I mean, we can all agree that that is the conference this year. And, I mean, Michigan State, Ohio State, Indiana, if they face any of those teams, I think they would go down pretty easily.
Well, absolutely. And one other team with some swagger, maybe well-deserved, St. Louis. They're going to be one of our deep sleeper teams. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the College Hoops section. But St. Louis, they're the real deal this year, and I think a lot of people need to start taking them seriously.
I got to watch them play this year, and they scare me. They're a good team. We got to play them at home, so I got the blessing to see them. And they play incredible defense. And they have a lot of people that can score. Their only losses this season come to South Carolina, us, Washington, Temple, and one other team in overtime. But they're one of those teams that just seems to fight so hard for games all the time. They're well coached, and they win on the defensive end always. They always fight on the defensive end. And I think that that's one of those things. If you can interrupt some of these higher-powered offenses, these high-scoring teams, and get them off their balance, you can win in the tournament. So I'm afraid of what St. Louis can do. I'm excited to see them play in the tournament. It's not a team that you get to hear about a lot. It's not a team that makes the tournament very often, but this is going to be a good year for them in the tournament, I think.
Well, I think so. I think they're going to be this year's Murray State, certainly a team that will be one of those sleeper teams that really we can look back at this show after the tournament's over and say, yeah, we told you so about St. Louis when we told you that they were the real deal. A couple games online for today, meaning Saturday, the day of the show, Duke at North Carolina. You guys are at Baylor. How big of a threat or how worried are you against unranked Baylor? Now, if they were to pull off a win at home, which Baylor plays pretty well at home, I think you guys have a pretty good handle of this game. But what will that do to the morale of Kansas to have such a huge win against Texas Tech only to turn around and lose against Baylor?
I will tell you that would literally destroy Kansas's morale. 8 straight Big 12 titles is our claim right now. And every year the seniors aren't going to be the ones that ruin tradition. And this year has been far too close for comfort. I mean, we were the preseason favorites to just run away with the title this year. But Kansas is in a place to win against Baylor and at least have a share of the title with Kansas State. It would just decimate the attitude of Kansas out here. It would be really sad. And I think they're a legitimate threat. Pierre Jackson and Isaiah Austin are two fantastic players. Baylor lost a great class last year to the NBA. They also replaced it with some really great players. They just haven't made – I mean, you can look at the Kansas State game, and that was a huge coaching error. They threw the ball the entire length of the court, threw it out of bounds, and gave Kansas State an opportunity to have – a wide-open, blown-coverage three-pointer that they make and win.
Well, you got one other team there in Kansas that we need to talk about. and I think you know what that is. Kansas State.
No!
At Oklahoma State. So, let's talk about that game. Number 9, Kansas State at number 13, Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State is fighting for their life. This could be a very dangerous game for Kansas State. However, if the worst happens, we run a devil's advocate scenario here. Baylor loses, Kansas State wins. That's going to sting a little bit. Kansas State at Oklahoma State, what are your thoughts?
Oklahoma State will win, barely, is my guess. Oklahoma State plays pretty well at home. We managed to absolutely squeak out a win there. It was two overtimes were needed to win that game. I think Kansas State is a really great team, but if you can get them hurting in the paint, they don't really have, like, a dominant post player. I mean, Hendriquez is fine, but they have really great guards. They have Andrew Rodriguez and they have Rodney Magruder. And I think that those two will be well defended by Markell Brown and Marcus Smart, one of arguably the best freshmen this year, who plays and just fills stat sheets, I think, similar to Victor Oladipo. But I think Oklahoma State's going to walk away with this game, and I'm not just saying that because they are rivals.
Well, it's going to be a good game to watch. Though I wish we had some time to get into some of the other games today. Obviously, Florida is at Kentucky. New Mexico, Marquette. Those are all teams that I wish we had time to break down. Oregon, obviously, Pittsburgh, UCLA at Washington, and Memphis are all key teams to be watching, especially this time of the year. And that is why our very special Selection Sunday will be so important. Show or the following Monday, depending on the times and when we can put everybody together, that's for sure. Well, Mr. Preston Barr, as usual, we appreciate you joining us, and we're going to be in touch with you throughout the month of March, and as the March Madness gets even more mad and even more crazy. So where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
You can find me on Facebook. You can find my work out at the University of Kansas. You want to come take a visit? Beautiful place. Come on out here. It's hilly. No one believes me. It's hilly.
The only place in Kansas that's hilly is in Jayhawk Nation. All right, Mr. Preston Barr, we'll catch you next week or soon. Definitely more in the month of March.
Awesome. I look forward to being on the show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right. Anytime. Mr. Preston Barr from out in Kansas University, Jayhawk Nation, always giving us the student perspective, obviously along with some of our other students that we have call in from time to time, Jimmy the intern and Evan Williams. But we got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to be talking with Mark Timmons about the L.A. Dodgers from L.A. Dodger Talk and as we gear up for the MLB. My name's Tom Markowitz, El Presidente. My minions, you stay right there. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. History, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance, our final segment. My name's Saul Mark, what's El Presidente. We are taping today's show. We certainly hope that you guys have enjoyed it as much as we have taping. You know, one of the great things that we've decided to do here at The Balance is why a lot of other networks, they don't let you hear the actual taping of the show and maybe different things they cut out in the edit, which we are doing. This is an edited version of the show. One thing I can tell you, though, we're going to go ahead and leave our recorded raw data up, and it's labeled raw data on their different segments when we taped over different days. We taped the racing segment on Wednesday night, and this is actually Friday morning, and we're taping the rest of College Hoops and our MLB segment. Like I said, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Hey, guys, I tell you what, we have had a great time with this. And I want you guys, we still got some time, and I know Michelle's putting it up on our social media. We want to see your very best.
Con los terroristas.
That's right. We want to see your very best Harlem Shake. Get it out here to us. We're going to post it on our fan pages, on Facebook, and on our Twitter and social media, and on our YouTube as well. So get that on out there. We're standing by for Mark Timmons from LA Dodger Talk to give us a call. We're going to be breaking down some action in Dodgerland out there in Los Angeles in their spring training. Take a look at what's going on with them, as well as some other teams around the National League. We're going to be talking with them, Mark, about some of the key teams to look forward to in the MLB. So we're standing by for Mark to give us a call, and we're going to get right into that. Certainly, you guys, we always follow the Cardinals and, you know, the Reds and the Cubs, that we do a lot of talk with the National League here, just simply because it's in our backyard. I'm the host. My favorite team just happens to be the Cardinals. So we're going to talk a lot of Cardinals this year as the season gets very close. And I tell you what, I cannot believe that it's almost Easter. And Easter is in March this year. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Of course, by the way, guys, hey, tonight at midnight, or whatever time you go to bed, it'd probably be a good time for you to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. We actually lose an hour. So all I can say is, if you don't want to be late by an hour, well, then you need to change your time clock tonight. We're standing by for Mark Timmons to give us a call here, hoping that he can do that here real quickly as we're trying to get this show wrapped up for you guys here, because we only have just a limited amount of time here. But Mark Timmons is going to give us a call here in just a moment, and hopefully we can get him on here. Again, we're taping this show, and this is the raw data part of the show, so, it's fun. But we'll probably edit some of this stuff out as well. Well, you know, we're talking some MLB. Shoops big day at the plate helps Dutch shock in Cuba. I like using that word, Cuba. Cuba. You see, here's what happens when I'm left to my own demise. Anyway, the Kingdom of the Netherlands run to the second round. It was the feel-good story of the 2009 World Baseball Classic. Before everything is said and done, the Dutch may turn out to be the story of the 2013 Baseball Classic for sure. Orioles prospect Jonathan Schoop had a three-run home run in the sixth and finished a triple away from hitting for the cycle to help bring his nation to the brink of a berth in the semifinals with a 6-2 win over Cuba in the first game of the second round on Friday in the Tokyo Dome. Tokyo. There's another fun name to... See, this is what happens. This is absolutely what happens. But we're standing by for Mark Timmons here, and we do have Mark. How you doing, sir?
Never better. How are you?
Fantastic, sir. Appreciate you giving us a call, being a part of our taping today of the show. Obviously, running on Saturday, tomorrow. And so talk with us a little bit about the Dodgers. Have you had a chance to get down there to spring training?
You know, this is probably going to be the second straight year that I've missed. I went for like 10, 12 straight years, and I've just I haven't been able to get down there this year. I don't think it's going to happen.
Just too busy walking on water, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I've been watching the web. You know, the problem is my real job. You know, we're up 42% this year. Sales are, which you know, I mean, we've doubled the last couple of years, and we're doing it again. And it's just, I mean, I'm just so busy training people. I mean, I guess there's a good problem, so I'm not complaining.
We'll talk with us a little bit about what's going on with LA Dodger talk, and obviously some of your most recent posts, and talk with us a little bit about what are you guys talking about over there at LA Dodger talk when it comes to the Dodgers.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not spending a lot of time on that. I've just, my priorities lie with my business right now, although, you know, I try to put up 3, 4, or 5 posts a week. They're pretty short. We've got a lot of followers there that use it as a forum. And I personally follow the Dodgers. I've watched most of the spring training games that have been on TV. And I keep up to date. It's just that I'm not disseminating the information like I used to. And what's happening with the Dodgers? Well, you know, a lot of people want to see D. Gordon step up and win the shortstop job. I happen to be on the other side of the fence and think that he's just not going to be able to cut it as a shortstop or as an impact player in the major leagues. There's a lot of questions with the Dodgers right now. Their pitching is pretty well stacked. We've got 8 strong starters. But, you know, we've got Matt Kemp recovering from shoulder surgery. We got Carl Crawford recovering from Tommy John surgery, as well as he's got a chronic sore elbow or sore wrist, arthritic. Adrian Gonzalez has had 4 straight years of declining home run numbers. Hanley Ramirez used to be MVP-type guy, and last year he hit .257. So, I mean, who knows who's going to show up? On the other hand, we've got an awful lot of positives there. The ceiling of the Dodgers is probably higher than any team in Major League Baseball, but, you know, they've got some older players, they've got some uncertainties, and, you know, I don't really know what kind of prediction to make for the Dodgers this year.
Well, I know, and we talked about this last week on the show as well, but we talked a little bit about the Dodgers in last week, and I'm not sure if it was your article, but it was, I think we got some information from your site where you guys are basically saying, out at LA Dodger talk anyway, that Matt Kemp's going to be the MVP of the year.
Well, I haven't said that, but you know, I think he's got a good chance at that. That hasn't been what I've said, but I think he's got an excellent opportunity to do that. I mean, the guy's got some of the best set of skills of anybody in baseball. He's got to be one of the top 5 players if you just look at skills. The question is, can he bounce back after shoulder surgery over the winter? I watched him hit a blast to deep right center field a couple of days ago. It didn't go out, but it was right at the wall. They caught the ball, and it was pretty effortless swing. So, you know, the guy that's really captured people's attention, though, is Yasiel Puig. He, the Cuban kid, 21 years old. He's 6'5", 245 pounds, and maybe the fastest player on the team. He's got a cannon for an arm, and he just, when he hits that ball, everybody stops and looks. The man is just a physical specimen, and he is going to be a player. Now, I don't know whether he's going to make it this year, but the Dodgers signed him to a $42 million contract, and he's a man-child out there.
Well, I tell you what, you mentioned the $42 million contract. You guys actually have a New York Yankee-style payroll, and you guys kind of opened up spring training with really a lot of questions. And one of those is, how healthy is Chad Biggleson? I can't even talk today, Mark. How healthy is he after his right elbow? Obviously, had a great showing last night against the Rangers. But is he somebody that you guys could come into the season, obviously having a huge payroll, you guys are paying some people some big bucks to go out there and perform, but is he going to be one of those guys that earn his pay?
Well, you know, Chad Billingsley has always been an enigma to some degree. He's got number one stuff. Last year coming into the season, he was our number two starter. This year, he's our number four, number five starter. Because obviously Kershaw's number one, Greinke's number two. Josh Beckett, I am predicting, is going to have a really solid year in the National League. He's not the pitcher he used to be. He's not the overwhelming power pitcher, but he's a really a good pitcher. And I would not be surprised to see Josh Beckett win 20 games this year. And then you've got Rue, who the left-handed Korean. You've got Lilly. You've got Capuano. And you've got Harang. At least a couple of those guys are going to get traded. So I don't know. Billingsley's arm could fall off tomorrow. You know, he had most people who have problems with the Tommy John tendon end up having surgery at some point in time. Now, they did that platelet-rich injection thing in his elbow, and he's throwing 94, 95 allegedly with no pain. So I guess it's one of those things. You just, when he goes to the mound, you hold your breath each time he's out there. He has the capability of pitching a no-hitter any time out, but Chad Billingsley's challenges are his arm and also between his ears.
I'll agree with that. Well, how let's talk about, when we're talking about people with surgical issues and elbow issues, Carl Crawford. I hit 50 balls off the tee in the batting cages and continues to rehabilitate his surgically repaired left elbow in the fading hope of being ready for opening day. So is Carl Crawford a guy you can count on?
No. No. Well, I mean, I think you can count on the fact that you can't count on him. When the Red Sox signed him, I wrote on, because a lot of Dodger fans were wanting to sign Carl Crawford, and I said the Red Sox will rue the day they gave Carl Crawford this contract. And, you know, I think the Dodgers are going to rue the day they got Carl Crawford. His whole game was predicated on speed. And, you know, he's never had a high on-base percentage, and as the older he gets, he's bulked up a little bit. He's lifted weights. I don't think he's a speedster he used to be. He's got arthritic wrist that he's going to have to sit about every 10, 12 days for a couple of games because it flares up on him. I'm just real uncomfortable with Carl Crawford. Now, that said, Yasiel Puig could he could be the starting left fielder. He's hitting about 500, and he's had some monster shots. He's very, very raw. And so, you know, sometimes those kind of guys need seasoning, but also when you have the kind of talent he does, sometimes it's just best to throw them out there to the wolves and let them rise to the talent, you know, let them play up to their surroundings.
Well, and Pew, I want to say Pepe Le Pew, obviously looking good in spring training, and as well, D. Gordon, for the second day in a row, had two hits and two stolen bases and scored twice. So the thing about Pew, do you say it Pug or Pew?
Pugh.
Pugh? Okay.
That's how I pronounce it, P-U, it's P-U-I-G, I think it's pronounced Pugh.
Well, obviously, he was a non-roster in Vichy, and you look at Brian Barden as well. So, it's great spring training going on with you guys with the Dodgers as well. Obviously, the Dodgers lead the National League in the team in hitting this spring and has also drawn the most walks, 52 to be exact, and their 20 of their stolen bases lead the majors after just 13 games in the preseason. Obviously, up next, the other California team to be that what I would consider more of a rival for you than the Padres would be San Francisco at noon, meaning today, out there in Scottsdale. So talk with us a little bit about that game. We've only got about a minute or so left.
Well, the fact of the matter is, I mean, spring training games don't really amount to much. You know, you're going to look at players. I look at their talent levels. Whether a guy's got a hit or not doesn't mean a lot to me, whether a guy strikes out somebody or hits a home run. I mean, you got to consider the talent levels they're at. But, you know, you look at a guy like Puig and, you know, you say, man, that guy's just got some talent. But the Giants are the reigning World Series champions. I mean, they've won it two out of the last 3 years. They're just a bunch of junkyard dogs. And I mean that with – I have a lot of respect for junkyard dogs. They're the kind of guys you want to go to war with. So right now, to me, the Dodgers are the pretty boys. You said they're like the Yankees in payroll, but they make the Yankees look like pikers. I mean, their payroll is ridiculous. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens this year. They could be very good or they might not be that good. I don't know.
Well, we're certainly going to be following throughout the season and be talking with you throughout the season. It's a long season yet to go as well. Mark Timmons, we appreciate you joining us. Mark Timmons from LA Dodger Talk. Also, Mark, we always want to make sure we put a U.S. Water plug in here for you when you're on. U.S. Water Systems, obviously, one of the sponsors of The Balance, and we run their spot quite frequently. But anything you want to talk to us real briefly about U.S. Water Systems?
Well, like I always tell people, we do everything with water except walk on it. And we're working on that, but we haven't got there yet. But we purify water for businesses, homes, and industry. And, you know, whether it's drinking water, working water, or irrigation water, we do it all.
All right, Mr. Mark Timmons of L.A. Dodger Talk, part-time. Follows the Dodgers as well as U.S. Water Systems. Mark, we appreciate you coming on board with us today, and we hope you have a good week, and we'll be in touch with you throughout the season, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
have
you.
A good one. Bye-bye.
Mark Timmons of L.A. Dodger Talk wrapping it up for us today, guys. That's going to be a show. We hope you've enjoyed this recorded version of The Balance. And I'll tell you one thing. Go online there and www.thebalanceonline.com or iTunes and check out, hey, these recording sessions. There's two recording sessions on there. We've got them just basically labeled recording session and raw data. Well, guys, fist bump me and go back to work. I'm out of here. Have a good day.
Marks on the ground. This is
join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.